You'll open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Russ, would you pray for the class this morning? Amen. Your memory verse is being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And confidence is being sure of something. And as Christians, we should be confident in the security of our salvation, confident in our relationship with Jesus Christ because of who he is, not of who we are. And that's the difference between religion and salvation, okay, is the confidence in Christ. Another way of saying your trust or your faith in God's word that supports you. And what we're going to see this morning is that if your mind is confident in those things, you can have joy in your life. The main theme of Philippians is joy, okay? The acronym, Jesus Others You, but the joy that you can have in your Christian walk is mentioned. You find that word joy, rejoicing, and it's been preached on by me, it's been preached on by Pastor, other people at different times here. In Philippians, that's what will help you get through. Your joy in your Christian walk is not based on your circumstances. I can guarantee you in the Old Testament, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had joy in their relationship with their God as they're going through the fiery furnace. Daniel falling asleep in a lion's den. I always loved that picture of, you know, and whether that's there or not, but it's like the lion lays down and Daniel has a pillow, okay? You can have joy, that confidence in a relationship that if God is your strength, your shield, your high tower, you are safe when you run into him. And so that's when it says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it the day of Jesus Christ. Never lose the sight of the fact that you are a work in progress. Okay, we fail, we drop back. God doesn't stop working in us. Amen? And that's why you can have joy when others have sorrow because of the claims of Christ. Ron preached a very good message yesterday at the memorial service for his mother-in-law. And the confidence that he was preaching from and the scriptures using because she had asked Christ to be her Savior. And so it's like the Bible says, we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. And that confidence will work in your Christian walk in your life. I'm confident that my wife loves me. Not because I deserve it, but because she has demonstrated it. And we're going to look at starting in Philippians chapter 1. Again, the theme of Philippians is joy and rejoicing. And if you look at this, Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with what? Joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And he goes down through this, and you can see that this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things which are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay, and what you're going to find, you find the words, you find rejoicing. Okay, and verse 18, it says, herein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You turn and you go over to verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you. Okay, so you get through this, and what we see is you find many things that happened in Paul's life. You got to remember, Paul wrote this. Where was he? Incarcerated. Okay, he had many things. Paul could have been mad. He could have been sad. He could have been depressed. He was under house arrest. He was waiting to see if he was going to be executed in Rome. So he was waiting for the other shoe to drop, okay? He was waiting, the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. He was waiting for this to take place, not knowing what the humans who had authority over him fully were going to do to him. He was warned not to go up into Jerusalem, which resulted in the bonds. Okay, turn to Acts 20. We're coming back to Philippians chapter 1, but turn to Acts 21. And it came to pass after that we were gotten from them and had launched, we came to a straight course unto to Cus, to the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. And finding a ship sailing unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for the ship was to be unlaid of burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. He's at the coast of, he's in Tyre in Syria. When, you know, the disciples, when said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. The author, the human author who gives us half of our New Testament, okay, still at times would not listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He was warned not to go. Did God continue to use him? So many of the epistles are prison epistles. But I wonder where God would have sent Paul on his missionary journeys if he had listened to the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. He was told, don't go. He went. Okay, there were false preachers there who were preaching things contrary to Paul's preaching. And back in Philippians 1 and verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So he had some that were preaching false doctrine. And instead, Paul focused his mind on spreading the gospel. That was the thing that brought him joy. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that there's a shouting party in heaven. Paul's eyes were on things above and not things here on this earth. And so he enjoyed and loved watching people come to Christ. If it doesn't encourage your heart, get your heart right. And I mean that in Christian love. It's not a competition. It's a birth in the family. Amen? And so you look at that, he got joy out of seeing people come to be saved. You know, being under arrest, Paul allowed Paul to preach to the soldiers that were chained to him. This is not what his life was like. Look at verses 12 and 13. And it says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You understand what's taking place? He's chained to the soldiers. They get chained to him. He's in house arrest, a little different. They didn't have electronic collars or ankle bracelets. They had on bracelets on their ankles. But he had to go where his captors led him. Okay, and so you have that taking place. And, you know, with that, at a place you'll find that says, being man's prisoner, he was the Lord's free man. And as he was chained to the Roman soldier, guess what he had? A captive audience. There has been many, many more saved over in Afghanistan, in Iraq, not because of missionaries, but because of American soldiers, right, Kevin? Coming over, serving in that country. Did you leave a Bible with anybody, Kevin, when you were there? Did you leave a New Testament? Tracts? He's witnessing to the soldiers that he was training. That has happened in every conflict. Okay? Every conflict. In the freeing of the Philippines again, that happened. I don't know if it's today, but it used to be during in the World Wars, I believe in Vietnam, the soldiers were issued a New Testament. Okay? I have a couple of the military New Testaments at home. They carried them with them. And it could be used. And here Paul's got a chance. He's witnessing to a soldier. Now, do you think that that soldier then kept his mouth shut when he was around his buddies? I don't know about you, but the first people I led to the Lord were some of my closest friends. I got so excited about what was going on with me, I talked to them. That was used in my dad getting saved because I led David McIntyre to the Lord. And my mother and father were like second parents to him. You know what the first place he went? Not to his own mother and father. He went down and witnessed to my mother and father, who were so excited, he says, because Brian helped me get saved. And my father got so mad. But it prepared his heart later, because you got to get them mad and make them sad before they can be glad. Okay, and so this thing took place. He was chained to him. It allowed him to preach to them, and then once they get saved, the gospel gets carried back through because these soldiers were like the guards, okay? You know, any soldier, if he's, you know, is he chained to the guy for 24 hours? Probably not. They rotated them in, so they rotate them to a different position. The people who brought them the food, Paul would take time to witness to them. He led the Philippian jailer to the Lord, right? Do you understand what's taking place with that? In his bonds, he was free in Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's joy. That's not you living in your attitude conditioned on your circumstances. It's conditioned on your heart relationship with the one who saved you. Paul's great witness motivated others to proclaim the gospel. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It's fun to watch people. One of the reasons I like when people come to the street corners is many times they're nervous to say anything at first. But after they watch something take place, I like taking people with me when I go to door to door. And we're doing cold. Door knocks because all of a sudden they find out they're not going to die. Then nobody could really do anything horrible to them. The worst they're going to do is get the door shut in their face, and they start gaining confidence. Early in this church, we taught a soul-winning class. Okay? I can remember Sue shaking her head at me because she's one of the first graduates of that. Going with people and praying first while someone else is talking, and then all of a sudden getting confident enough to start being willing to witness herself. That will take place when you're around people. When you don't do that, you isolate, it becomes more and more about you and what you're going through. When you're outreaching people and you're seeing somebody reach people, I watch people on the street corners. I don't think Mike Stanton, the first time he ever went, preached, hand out tracts, but you know, he since then done that. It's just something about that. The Lord will work in that. You gain confidence when you're with others. Okay? He counted it joy to suffer for the gospel's sake. Verse 20 of chapter 1. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He counted it joy. Okay, look at verse 29 of the chapter, Philippians 1. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to what? Suffer for his sake. It will come. Now, that level of suffering can be greater or lesser in different things, you know, but it will come down to is that Paul knew that it was a God was working in using it. It was good. Being confident, this very thing that he has begun a good what? Work in you or perform it under the day of Jesus Christ. So the single mind brings joy. Paul couldn't be pulled away from his heart desire. Whether in bonds or free, he was telling people about Jesus, and they could see a difference. That's what they're looking at. Your countenance, your attitude, your heart condition is what people see before they ever hear what you're telling them about Jesus Christ. If it makes no difference in you, do they want what you have? When you go through something and they don't have that same thing, it will make a difference. I'm not talking about going, oh, I'm so happy this happened, that happened, this happened, these bad things happened, I lost this one. There was suffering in my family. But that it doesn't totally destroy you. And you can look at that and say, whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. The world will see that and then makes it easier for then you to open your mouth, whether in your bonds or in your freedom, to tell them about Jesus Christ. I think it's phony when somebody goes around and they go, nothing ever bad happens to me. I'm a Christian. If you get saved, it'll be gumdrops and candy bars and 10 points. You know, it's always got to be about a deer. Okay. That's not real. But that you can go through it and that God will carry you, that's what makes a difference. So the first chapter is that single-mindedness in Christ. He was going to do that which God had called him to do, even when he was in a place that he probably, God wouldn't have had him if he'd have listened to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know what that tells me? Even we're not paying attention all the time and we go slightly or we go in the wrong direction some, you know what God will do? He will use you where you're at the moment you turn it over to him. People think it's this, you know, it's Okay. Here's Jesus Christ. And I'm with him. He's carrying me. He holds me up. And then I make a choice for myself. And I start walking away from him. And then all of a sudden, when I turn back, I'm way away from God. You know what? The devil wants you to believe that. The book says, I will never what? So you know what it is? I should have had them walk behind me, because now you got to watch me carry Jesus Christ behind me. I'm moving away from him. Oh my God, my life's a mess. I need my Savior. Where is he? Right there with you. I want you to get that picture in your mind. You can feel all alone, and it's when you're looking the wrong way. It's better than the prodigal son when the father waited for him to return. My Father is in heaven, but my Savior is with me every day. We have a greater salvation than Old Testament saints every day. So you have single-mindedness. It can bring you joy. Set your affections on things above and not things here on this earth. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So we see that in chapter 1. Chapter 2, this is about being submitted. Your mind submitted to him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor. Wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm reading Ephesians 6. Got to turn the page here. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, fulfill ye my what? Joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, or strife comes when you think you don't deserve what's going on. Okay? Vainglory. You're so vain, you probably think this song is about you, don't you, don't you? Walter, we can't go back to those rock songs, okay. Mike Viskin would be giving me a hard time this morning. Nancy already knew what the words were. Nothing done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That means putting, now you've got joy, this is others here, see it? Better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Chapter 2 is talking about willing to be submitted. If you're submitted, you're in submission, that means you are under someone. You're in submission to Jesus Christ. You're in submission to the will of the Father, okay, to God's plan. Paul encouraged them to be of the same mind which was in Christ Jesus. Men, husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might have presented unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, okay? Men are to love their wives as Christ so loved us. Men are supposed to be Christ in the home, the servant leader in the home. What I'm saying to you, fellow peacocks, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and your family being drawn to him. that submission to him. Likewise, you have husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Honoring the wife as the weaker vessel and heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I say this because I want to understand something with that. God honors that. You'll be the head of your home as Christ is the head of the church. You will be followed the way you want to be because you'll be in submission and following the one who's supposed to lead you. He submitted to, you know, God's plan the same as he was shown that Jesus Christ did. And that mindset brings joy. It brings joy. It says he made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't have a fancy, prideful lifestyle. And neither should we. I didn't say you can't have nice things. Christians, when things go well, put the evidence on the things and they talk about God's blessings in their lives out of the things that they have in their possessions. And that are the blessing of God in their life. And we have to be careful of that. So very, very careful of that. How many of you have ever heard of Hiles Anderson College? Jack Hiles, famous preacher. Do I agree with him everything? No. You know who paid for the college? It wasn't Hiles. He was the figurehead showed up front. It was Mr. Anderson. A many times over millionaire who funded that school, used what he had for Jesus Christ. And therefore, many men ended up in the ministry because he paid for things. When he couldn't associate with Hiles Anderson anymore, he started funding, I think, Crown College. Things to help train men for the ministry. I actually heard him speak one time. He's an old codger. You know what I found out with him? God blessed him in his monetary endeavors because he was just a funnel and God was pouring it through him. So now you get the picture of what I'm trying to get to you here this morning? It doesn't make any difference, rich or poor. Wherever you are in such state, therewith to be content. And the whole thing is, does God have what you got? Are you the owner or are you the steward? In the Christian life, we're just stewards. We're just stewards. And sometimes he gives more to someone because he can trust them more with it. All right? Plain and simple. Don't come to my house and leave a package of peppermint patties and say, don't eat them. I'm sorry. About the time Judy goes to bed, my old nature crops up and I'll replace it. I'll buy one to replace the one I ate. I'll buy two to replace the two I ate. Geez, there's only six in a pack. I'll just buy a whole new pack, throw away the wrapper. You're laughing, but do you understand? Okay. He made himself of no reputation. It says he took on him in verse 7 the form of a servant, and that's what we're supposed to be. He did it with humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. For God resisteth the but giveth grace unto the humble. Unto the humble. Judy and I pray a lot. We always got it better. We've got it better. Heart right. Get your heart right. Lord, thank you. I don't get what I deserve. I have it so much more. it will cause you to focus on others. It's not about me. It's about them needing him. Amen? Amen. That causes you to focus on God and focus on others. Real joy comes from pleasing God and serving others. You take your eyes off yourselves, and your problems become smaller. You ever notice the more you dwell on what makes you unhappy, it makes you more unhappy? You dwell on that which makes you laugh, makes you have contentment in others. Judy asked for a fountain in the middle of our little pond behind the house. Frustrated me. Electrical out to it, trying to get it to work right. Nothing fit right. This didn't work right. My sons were helping me put it in the pond, and they cut the rope shorter than I thought they should cut the rope, because you got to tie it in three different ways to get it to stay in the center. And I couldn't get the cover to work and this or that. And so it got it working. And when I looked at her, how that joy gave her, I could shout, because it's something that pleased her. Does it please your Savior? Does it please others? There'll be joy. There'll be joy. Chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And he gives warnings there, okay? And he's going to tell them he wants them to have spiritual minds. You got to have a different mindset. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. See, again, tied to joy, rejoicing. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the arm of the flesh will fail you. The horse is prepared for the day of the battle, but what? Safety is of the Lord. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised, and he gives his background, he gives his bona fides of why he is the apostle, you know, his whole background. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted what? Verse 7, loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may what? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, self-righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. He tells them, forgetting those things that are behind, can't change the past, can you? Reaching forth to that which is before, got your eyes in the right place. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you, understanding the things of God that can never be taken away from you, that's joy. Do you trust in the flesh? Your flesh will let you down. Verse 3, right? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. They have no confidence in the flesh. We don't trust in religion. Things were gained to me, I counted but loss for Christ. He was a religious zealot who went around persecuting and getting Christians arrested and martyred. That's Paul. It brought him no peace, no joy in his religious zeal. He came to Christ and it changed him. Religion will let you down. I have to laugh, and I'm not trying to be mean. They tried to make a communist who didn't, he believed in liberation theology, they tried to make him something that he wasn't when he just passed away. Now they've got a new pope. He tries to claim the name of, and I got saved out of a religion where the religious leaders were called Father. And he's Papa. I love it. You know, to pastor's little boys, his two little boys, the little girl's learning, I'm Papa. But I'm not, you know, like what is called, the Pope is called Papa. That means he is the father of them all. He sits in the throne in Vatican. He speaks ex cathedra, means he speaks with the voice of God. To that I say, oh, nuts. This speaks with the voice of God, the book. Okay, and it's a big thing because it's a religion of works. I thank God I have a heavenly Father and I have a Savior who did the works for me because my works wouldn't measure up. So you have to have a spiritual mind in dealing with that. Okay, because we can't trust in the law, verse 9. Found not having my own righteousness, which is according to the law, you can't trust in the law. Because you know what? The Bible says if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you are guilty of one point? All. You're guilty of it all. Can't trust in the law. You can't trust in the world. Look at verse 20, same chapter. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not here on this earth. The world will deceive you. And the minute I read that, I think of it, you know, I grew up, I am of the Beatles generation. Okay, now I want you all to, I'm only kidding, but can we all stand up and we're going to sing, We Are the World. If your trust is in this world and the things of this world, you know what it's going to do? It's going to fail you. It's going to eat you up. And it's going to leave you broken and wondering. Jesus Christ takes away the confusion and the wondering. Colossians 2:8. We're coming back to Philippians 3. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, the world's thinking, in vain deceit, after the tradition of what? After the rudiments of this, and not after Christ. I've been to one of the weird tombs in the weird worship places in Ireland. Went down in the ground, it's where they turn around and they do the sacrifices. The Irish people before Christ. Human sacrifice. And on the mound outside, carved in the rocks, were fertilis. If you don't know what a fertilis is, just put it in, you'll find it. Okay? And the funny thing about it, it's a carving that's found. These are the Picts. They were cannibals. They worshipped the sun. And the fertilis were carved in the rocks outside of the mound that you went down into, that the only time the altar got hit by light was it the spring equinox in the winter equinox? And they would sacrifice down there. Well, you know what you find in the Incan ruins in the Mayan ruins. You find these things carved, the same exact symbols. In my trips to India, I've been to their temples. You know what you find carved in the rocks of their temples? The same thing. And it has nothing to do with the worship of the one true God. It has to do with the God of this world. When France turned its back on, and then the French Revolution, they killed all their royalty off. You know what some of the symbols were used during that? Because France brought in the age of humanism, the worship of man. You know what some of the symbols they used were? Same ones they saw in a place where they have human sacrifice. You know what the world will do? It will sacrifice you. I thank God I have a Savior who sacrificed himself for me. They don't change things for you. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Second Peter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience. I preached on this Wednesday night. Patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, looking too close, and hath forgotten that he had been purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to grow in grace. You're going to grow in all these things. It's going to open up to you the truth of God's word, that God's love, charity flowing through you, God's love flowing through you, will be reaching to others. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my what? Joy in my crown, joy in crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He's saying they are his joy. It's not about him, it's about his Savior first, the spiritual mindset, then others. I beseech, now he turns around in verse 2, and please don't name your kids these names. I beseech, this is people's names. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I treat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, the way you live, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then tells us, don't be anxious, don't be full of care. Do everything by prayer and supplication. That tells you to have your mind dwell on the good things in God, because you have a good God. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on what? These things. If you can focus on him, it's going to be easier. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. Content means to be satisfied and joyful with what God has provided. If you don't think God's provided it, let him draw his hand back on your health. If you're a self-made man, God does a better job than you do. He knew to be content, no matter what he was going through. Now, this is a prison epistle. He was in house arrest. He says, knowing and believing helped him be this way. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your wants, your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? When you're not content, ask yourself these questions. I'm going to give you some questions. Ask yourself when you're not content. Am I thinking about how I can spread the gospel through this situation? had a man who had to go in for surgery. He's since gone home to be with the Lord, was in this church for a lot of years and moved away. And I go to see him in the hospital. He goes, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why. God, what did I do? God let this happen to me. I said, you don't know? I said, are you witnessing to the man in the bed next to you? Because he doesn't have what you have in Jesus Christ. And he goes, you're right, Pastor. Can you give me a track? He'd gone into the hospital to have surgery. He didn't even bring his Bible with him. Can you go by the house and get my Bible? Took it to him. That poor man in the bed next to him, that's all he heard for the 4 days this man was in the hospital. He knew why God had put him there. Sometimes if you're his, it's not about you doing something wrong or God's upset with you. You got to go through this. It's because God's going to put you in a place he can use you in. Amen? Am I acting like a humble servant ready to put others before myself? Am I trusting in the Lord or myself? Am I willing to learn how to be more content and to focus on Jesus? Have I forgotten our memory verse? Being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a good work and you will perform it unto the day of Philippians 1:29 we read, and it says, for unto you is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Philippians 4:13. Read it with me. You ready? Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All God's people said, take a break.